Hi, I'm Hobie.
I'm G.
I'm Strangey.
Why is that funny?
Oh, God. This is Tales of Togger, a WhatsApp group podcast packed full of absolute nonsense and some football. Like and subscribe, is that what they say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah? How do they like and subscribe?
Just like, and I don't know, mate.
We don't know. Just that'll do.
Go to Tales of Togger Twitter. I'll post the link.
Like it. Back here at Tales of Togger HQ, Strangey. Hello, mate.
Hiya, mate. You okay?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
Oh, terrific. Absolutely belting tonight. Yeah, all good.
Oh, really? Good then.
Yeah, no, really good. Really, really good. Thanks, mate.
Excellent, excellent. And our friend who is based in Finland, it is George. How are you, George?
Wow.
I'm good, mate. I'm very good. Good weekend of Togger.
Yeah. How was Finland? How's Finland, mate?
Oh, fantastic, mate. Helsinki, beautiful.
Yeah. Excellent. How long have you been based in Helsinki for?
About 12 years now.
given that you've lived in Finland for 12 years, can you name one other town or city in Finland that isn't Helsinki?
No, I cannot.
Okay.
Can you give me one footballer from Finland that isn't Mikael Forsell?
Adigo Johnson, is he from Finland? Iceland, isn't he?
Iceland.
Well, no, I can't. No. I think you've only ever produced one. I think the international teams used to play with one player.
And who was that, Mikael Forsell?
Mikael Forsell, yeah.
Name the football teams that Mikael Forsell played for, mate.
Birmingham.
Yeah.
Scum.
I think he was a one club man, wasn't he?
What? Was he?
He played for Chelsea for a long time, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, of course he did. What? Sorry, mate.
What squad number did he have?
Oh, he was, I remember this. Was he 19?
I've no idea, mate, but you've lived in Finland that long. I would expect you to know.
Well, I think, I'm sure he was 19, but I assume he had different numbers for different clubs.
I mean, do you know he played for Crystal Palace as well?
I didn't know that, no.
He played for Leeds United.
You know what? I did know he played for Leeds United because I'm sure he's there on the Champ Manager 01 or 02.
Yeah.
Sure he is.
Last question from me, G. What's your favourite moment ever with Mikael Forsell, given that you've lived in Helsinki, Finland for 12 years?
Probably his goal for the national team.
Which goal was that, mate?
Just all of them. They're all equally special.
Tell you what, we've started with a bang tonight, haven't we?
Oh, what a show. Honestly, what a budget show. Seriously though, have you been, mate? You've enjoyed the Togger over the weekend?
I have, yeah, mate. Been a good weekend of Togger, hasn't it? Yeah. Premier League starting to shape.
Yeah.
Top teams are coming to the top, so...
Excellent. Yeah. This week's Tale of Togger, we will be talking about who the best holding midfielder in the league is, in the Premier League. We obviously won't be delving into the Championship for that debate because no one cares, G. We will discuss that. Then we will talk about the weekend's action. We might hear from Richard Keys tonight. Is that correct, G?
I've been trying to contact him, but he was on golf course all afternoon, so I'm not sure, mate.
Yeah, but vicariously, we'll hear it from him via you, won't we?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so you'll bring us the latest from all things Richard Keys. Do you know what? We might end the show with just asking you random questions about Mikael Forsell, G.
Hey, why not?
Why not? Okay. So, to start off the show, we're going to be talking about the best holding midfielder in the league. So, let's just leave it that Rodri is the best holding midfielder in the league. And let's just go straight to the sponsor. What do you think?
Honestly, good segment. No. Absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, nice start. Okay, so when we're discussing this, I think it's always important that we sort of tell the listeners just what the basis of our opinions are. Not that that will give any more gravitas or actually any more sense to the contenders that we bring, but at the same time, it adds a little bit of structure, doesn't it? So when we were thinking of who the best holding midfielders are, we have no structure to this whatsoever, do we? So the structure comes from no structure, i.e. you can say who you want for whatever reason you want, and then we'll try and put them in order based on the fact that G will say two guy because he had long hair. So then we'll go from there. So why don't we start with you? Who is the best holding midfielder in the league?
Well, obviously I'm going currently because two guys retired and was the best. N'Golo Kanté for me. He just does everything. Well, I say he does everything. He's the person you want sat in front of your defence, and he gets all over the pitch, wins his tackles. I was looking the other day, he's top for interceptions. He's basically near the top on stats for everything you'd want in a defensive midfielder.
Right. Sorry, go on.
Obviously, recently, for some reason, a couple of Chelsea managers decided to put him in attacking midfield, which is ridiculous because he's not, you know what I mean? He's not that player, is he? He's not the player, like, he's not a Kevin De Bruyne type player who's going to thread a pass or anything like that. You just want him to sit in and he'll win everything. Obviously, multiple Premier Leagues, World Cup, he's won it all. Yeah, best player by a distance.
I don't think he's won the Champions League, has he?
No, he won't have won the Champions League.
So you can basically, in your view, win it all and not win the Champions League and still be considered the best in your chosen profession. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. How many CDMs in the Prem have actually won a Champions League? He's not up against much competition.
If we go more generally, Pep Guardiola is obviously doing a very good job. You know, he's not won the Champions League with Manchester City, but he's won everything else. So we've capped off two debates in one there, haven't we? Well done, G.
All right, I see what you're doing there, yeah. All right, mate, all right.
I fucking love that. Debunked.
Nice and
confused. Well, Pep's not won a World Cup, though, has he? So Kanté's...
He's won a World Cup, hasn't he?
He'll won a World Club Cup, but fucking hell, who plays in that River Plate?
I mean, Pep Guardiola might find it difficult to win a World Cup when he's never managed a nation before.
Yeah, that's his choice, isn't it?
Right. Okay, good one. Yeah, I mean, you've alluded to it there, but I think you're talking nonsense, G, because I don't think the reason that Sarri played Kanté a bit further forward rather than holding midfield due to Kanté's, as you say, lack of skills that they seem to see in him for the attacking elements of the game. I think it's probably because both he and then last season, Frank Lampard, both saw Jorginho as the better holding midfielder. He's a more modern holding midfielder. Would that be fair, Strangey?
Yes, it would be fair, but I think I see what you're saying, and you're exactly right. The reason they've put Kanté further up the pitch isn't because they think Kanté would be good there. It's because they wanted to accommodate Jorginho into that position because he's more what you would say, I guess, like a quarterback, isn't he? He kind of sits there, distributes the ball a lot better than Kanté does. However, in my opinion, that's the only thing he does better than Kanté in that position.
Okay.
And I suppose it's what you value more in your side, isn't it? It's what your setup needs more, I guess, is the point, isn't it?
Okay, well, let's expand on this point then. So when you are playing for one of the top teams in the league, do you need someone who is completely expendable for all of the attacking facets of the game and have him literally just sit there for when you don't have the ball? Or are holding midfielders, more modern holding midfielders, players that can play in a Pep team or play in a Klopp team, whereby your job is to exactly do what you're mentioning there, Strangey, and recycle the ball, be part of the pressure, lock the pressure into the final third of the pitch and maintain it. What would Kanté do, Strangey, in a Manchester City team?
Well, I think those things you just listed there, I think he doesn't do any of them exceptionally well. Apart from, I must say for Kanté, what I think is underrated is his ability to lock the pressure into the other person, the other side's half, or into that final third. Because he's so mobile and so quick, he's absolutely comfortable getting up past the halfway line when Chelsea have the ball. And if it does break down, he's there to win it back and get it going again. Not in the way that a traditional, you know, deep-lying playmakers such as a Rodri or a I guess to a lesser extent, maybe a Jordan Henderson does, where they pick the ball up and they'll spray a diagonal ball, or they'll try and get the attack moving with a through ball, or get the attacking midfielder involved immediately. Certainly not got the same range of passing or the attacking skills, but I think he is very underrated at holding that pressure into the opposition's half. I don't think he would fit maybe in a Pep Guardiola team. I don't know if that's Pep Guardiola's remit, but I think you could make a case that sometimes that's just what Man City lack at times on the counter attack, and the space that Rodri has sometimes allowed him behind him as a defensive midfielder sometimes does let him down, I think, personally.
What do you think, G? I mean, everything would suggest that because City, as an example, we're using City as they're a possession-based side, but you could say the same about Liverpool. Liverpool are brilliant at locking the pressure in the final third. With the centre-backs so high up the pitch with all the defenders, I mean, look at Manchester City. They, when they're attacking and in the final third, a lot of the defenders are locking off the space by being sort of 10, 15 yards into the opposition box, in the opposition half. So they cover the ground by being brave and being high. Whereas a Kante team, a Chelsea or France or a Leicester, they're quite deep, and Kante's mobility allows him to, probably better than anyone I've seen, mop up attacks, stunt attacks that are on the counter. Why do you think that, given all that, Kante has never been seen by, even when he was leaving Leicester, as an option for those primarily possession-based sides?
For what you, every reason you say, really, like the way City play, they even more than Liverpool, because Liverpool attack quickly, don't they? Whereas City just push you back in your own half, knock it side to side, and eventually just break you down. So in a team like that, Rodri's ideal because he can just move the ball, whereas Kante's not. You know what I mean? He doesn't have the range of passing that Rodri does. Obviously it does. It depends on the team, the way the team play, doesn't
it? Very best teams that we've produced in this country are Liverpool and Manchester City in the last, you know, three, four years. Are we saying that Kante is the best player in the league, but isn't his characteristics are not suitable for the very best teams?
I think he's suitable for Liverpool. Like Fabinho plays in there, doesn't he, doing that role? Because I reckon our Liverpool player with like the three across the middle, Kante be ideal in that, because he can get up and down the pitch, but he is that player who sweep up and track back and do what's needed. Like City's a different case in it, because they just always have more possession than the other team. Even when they're playing the top teams, they dominate possession. So, yeah, I think he wouldn't fit at City, but I think any other team in the league.
What do you think, Strange? I would contend that Fabinho is more of a Rodri than he is a Kante. Fabinho's doing a wonderful job in there and could arguably be seen as one of the best holding midfielders in the league. So let me ask you the same question. Is George's contention that Kante is the best holding midfielder in the league subject to some scrutiny, given the fact that the two best teams possibly certainly wouldn't purchase him if he was available?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I think that is true, I think. I don't think he would fit either side. I think I see Fabinho more of a... He's slightly more Rodri than he is Kante, but I kind of see him in the middle. He does a bit of both of their games well, and he's kind of the most hybrid of the two, I would say, without being directly relatable to one of them. However, I think that is often, I think that's the case sometimes for some great players, though. I think they've got to be, the system has to be right for them. Clearly, that is the case with Kante. He cannot play in a midfield three like Man City, who just pass the ball around and patiently pass the ball around and pick it up and pop it. That's not his game. He needs to be what you would call the classic Makalele, doesn't he? He needs to be the holding midfielder, and that's all you ask of him. And he does that better than anybody, for me, probably on the planet at the moment. However, as you say, you could make a case that he's not suitable for Man City or Liverpool. I don't think that should knock his credentials down a peg. I just think it's the way they play. It's the way football's played for those two sides at this moment in time.
Gee, let me sort of turn the screw on this point. So Kante, I think we're all agreed in terms of ball recovery, is the best in the league and has been in the best, has been part of a group of top holding midfielders probably for the last 5 years. I think the Leicester title is about 5 years ago now, isn't it? But sort of let's expand further on this idea that if he's brilliant without the ball at getting it back for you, but are the best teams, is football not going towards a game now whereby the best teams are more concerned about having it and retaining it rather than what happens if they lose it? If you could have a Rodri or a Fabinho?
But like I say, I think obviously he is the best defensively minded midfielder in the league, but I don't think he's a bad player on the ball, you know what I mean? I don't think he's like, all he can do is tackle. And then he's completely inept going forward. He's a good all-round player. And like, I see what you're saying, but it's kind of like how we've seen Spurs yesterday. They're happy. They're not like City will just constantly keep going. They're happy to get 2-0 up and just sit. So, yeah, it does. It completely depends how you play. Like, it's hard to compare Rodri and Kante, isn't it? Because they're such different players.
Yeah, I totally agree. I guess what I'm sort of saying is that, you know, Rodri is very similar to Busquets. And, you know, I think we probably all agree that Barcelona is the best team that we've seen in our lifetime, other than Blackburn Rovers in 1995. So, at the end of the day, if we've got, but it is all about style. I totally understand that. You know, if you're Jurgen Klopp, having someone who's just doing that is probably not enough for him. But I would sort of point towards the fact that the only way Liverpool can improve is bringing in a Rodri-type player in Thiago. And so maintain having a bit more creativity and pushing the ball through midfield a bit more rather than going a little bit more direct like Liverpool do. That seems to have been somewhere that Klopp thought needed improving and hence the signing. Strangely, if it's not Kante, which I know it's not Kante because we were all told to bring someone different, who do you think is the best holding midfielder in the league?
Well, I'm going to go with Fabinho just purely because of what we discussed about him being a bit of a combination of the two. I love Kante. I absolutely love him. And I think he's perfect for the position that he plays, but no other, if that makes sense. So as a sort of middle ground between the two of you guys, I guess, Fabinho, I think for me, does a bit of both. I don't think he's as effective at breaking up the play and recovering the ball as Kante. I don't think he's as good of a passer and dictating the tempo as Rodri is, but he does both relatively well. And I think that's a really good asset in that Liverpool team.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great pedigree, hasn't he, Fabinho? And he's made a huge difference to Liverpool. What a lack of mobility, perhaps, G? Does that get in his way? Can he cover the ground enough?
I've never really considered a not mobile player. I think he could do it all, really. Again, he's not someone who's going to thread a, you know what I mean, an inch perfect pass, but yeah, he does. He's perfect in that Liverpool midfield because the three of them are just like, if you've got him, Wijnaldum and Henderson, I think they're playing at the minute, they're all quite similar, yeah, aren't they? In the sense that it's just like a workman midfield. They're not really, none of them are really great at anything, but they're all good at everything, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he wins over 50% of his tackles, does Fabinho. And straight away, I mean, that's something that's the cat leaving, by the way. See you, mate. See you all then. Fabinho, I think if you're looking at his statistics here, I mean, he's just generally very, very good. One thing I would ask, though, is... with regards to Fabinho, Strangey, why do you think that... Oh, no, not why do you think. That's a loaded question. Who do you think is more important in that midfield? Do you think it's Jordan Henderson or do you think it's Fabinho?
Probably Jordan Henderson. Yeah, I just think he is, like G said, all that midfield are very similar. They all are very good at most of the game and not exceptional at any, really. But Jordan Henderson is just that. He's the behaviour setter, isn't he? He's like, right, that's what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. Let's go and do it. He marshals that midfield three wonderfully well. And I think he's, you know, ability-wise, I'd probably say that I personally believe Fabinho is a little bit better ability-wise on the ball. But Henderson, he just sets the tone. He is just, he's not much worse in terms of ability. That's a real knock on him, I think, like me saying that. It isn't intended at all. He's just he is the trendsetter. He is the marshal in there. And that's what every good midfield needs. They need that. Take the game by the scruff of the neck. You two with me. This is what we're doing. Let's get it done, you know.
What do you think, G? Does Strangey make any good arguments there?
Yeah, I completely agree with him, mate. I think Henderson's the main man in there. Just the leader of him, isn't he? Just the leader and, like, yeah, sets the standard.
Does he convince you at all that Fabinho might be better than Kante because he's sort of more rounded than Kante?
No, not at all. I don't think he's that more rounded than Kante. No, I wouldn't say.
Reggie, what do you say to that?
I don't think massively either, but he's definitely got more to his game. I think he's just a little bit of he's a better passer. He's a better passer for football. And that is the one thing you would maybe say that Kante isn't. It's not the strongest part of his game. Listen, I love Kante. Absolutely love him. One of my favourite players to watch for what he does for years and years. You know, I've been open about that many a time. He's fantastic at what he does. But as Hope said and alluded to, the game is sort of moving to a style where they want the midfield to do a bit of everything. And if they can't do a bit of everything, they want, specialists, you know, quarterbacking, halfbacking, that kind of thing are coming into the game a lot more for the top sides. And as a result, he just gets a little bit of a nod from me, really. This week's Tales of Togger is brought to you by Danny Cadamatri's Meat Factory. Danny Cadamatri is offering butcher's bundles in Cleckheaton, West Yorkshire for this Christmas, ready for the freezer. 6 pork sausages, 6 smoked bacon, a turkey crown, £20. Unbelievable! Danny Cadamatri's Meat Factory, just off the M something in Cleckheaton, West Yorkshire.
No, good points there, Strangey. Very good points. I think, actually, this is probably one of the more insightful debates that we've had when we haven't had a guest and we've been putting our best behaviour on.
Yeah.
This has done pretty well. Well done to you, G, because I feel like you've actually, you know, put a bit of effort in.
Cheers, mate. Much better than the Charlie Cornwell fucking conversation, isn't
it? Yeah, he's just bad him, isn't he?
I think, in a way, we slipped up putting that one out on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because as soon as people have heard him, they'll have thought, no.
He's actually lost
7,000 impressions on that tweet. Honestly, we are going big.
Fucking getting.
Did we get listens from it though?
Yeah, well, it's the next step, isn't it? You know, we've just got to be out there. You know, once we show we're out there, you know, gee, just calm down. Maybe if you actually sort of, you know, we're better than you have been in your life. I don't know. Sorry.
Have we?
What did you?
Has Curtis got back to us?
Yeah, no, not yet. What did your dad think of last week's podcast, mate? Given the fact these two sons were on it.
Yeah, he just said you need better guests. But I'll tell you what. Obviously, a few people have said Greasy with Keezy has gone down a storm.
It has. It really has.
It has. There's a lot of good feedback on a Greasy with Keezy.
I'm going to go with Rodrigo Hernandez Cascante, which bit of irony, is it? Is it irony? I'm not sure it is irony, but I guess we're discussing Cante and part of Rodrigo's full name is the word.
No, we get it. We get why you said irony. You don't have to then go on and explain it.
Yes, I'm going Rodrigo because I just think he's better. So let's have a word with our sponsors. No, the sponsors. <please. laughs>
Jesus.
Right. No, fine. Good. Yeah. You just think he's better. Okay, great.
No, I mean, I feel like in discussing with you both your selections, I've sort of cast out there what I think quite clearly. But for completeness, I mean, he is absolutely fucking outrageously good. He is. I massively, massively underrate him if he's not your top one. I think he's that much better than anyone else.
Now, see, I like him, but I think you just massively, massively overrate him, given that explanation.
Yeah, oh, he's just so good. So his distribution is just ridiculous. I was reading a really nice article. I say nice. I mean, I didn't fully understand it, but it was all about how. Let me read you the title. I've still got it open on my laptop. But there was this phrase, yeah. How Rodri has grown as a press-resistant midfielder at Man City.
I think I saw this. Was this on The Athletic?
I think it's been copied from The Athletic, I think.
Yeah, I think I was reading a bit of it, actually, yeah.
I mean, it is. It's very complicated, but this idea that you basically can't pressure him off the ball. He'll just keep it and recycle it. I mean, that is exactly what Pep is looking for, isn't he? He wants someone who could, with one or two touches, turn either a counter-attack back on its head or with one or two touches, resist the pressure, as this article is saying. Gee, why not Rodri? I mean, you've spoken about Fabinho, you've spoken about Henderson, you've spoken about Kante. Why not Rodri? What is it about Rodri that's sort of not quite up there with the others?
I mean, I guess to a point, it's the fact that I never watched him in Spain, so I've not seen as much as him. You know, obviously he's only really... He didn't play that as much last year, did he?
If I'm right. No, he had an injury hit season last year, I think.
Yeah, so I've only really seen him this season. So it's hard to judge off this amount of games, isn't it? But, it's and also with him, it's quite difficult because of the way City play. His job is just to sit there and just knock passes to the, you know what I mean, the likes of De Bruyne and Sterling and whatnot. So, like I said, give him time, mate. If you ask me in a year, I might have changed my mind and said Rodri's by far the best.
Yeah, I mean, but you won't. I think, if he plays for Pep, you won't do that, will you?
Well, that's it as well. I think with you, if Pep likes a player, he's all of a sudden, you know what I mean, Lionel Messi.
Nah, but it's not true, though, is it? Because let me think of a player that I don't like. I don't like Cancelo. I don't like what Pep does with Cancelo. I don't understand why. You know, Pep has history of playing Fabian Delph as a left-back so that he plays in midfield. He also has Philipp Lahm at Bayern Munich, who he turned into a midfielder. You know, defensively, you're a right-back, but you play in midfield when we have the ball. And he just seems to do it really oddly with Cancelo. And I just think he's a bit shit. I don't know.
Cancelo's not Philipp Lahm, is he? That's the thing. Philipp Lahm, you could see him as a CDM. But,
And he does the same with Zinchenko, and he's shit. Do you know what I think? I mean,
I don't rate him.
What about if we get him on? I didn't mean that.
If we get him on, yeah, when he's on next week, we'll retract that, yeah.
But in all seriousness, though, they're just not suited to it, and I don't think Cancelo is better than Mendy at left back or Kyle Walker at right back. But he spent £40 million on him.
Yeah, weird one, isn't it?
And I know I've gone off on a tangent there, but it's really just to sort of debunk what you're saying, G, that I really like Rodri because Rodri is absolutely brilliant. Yeah, who did I watch him against? I think it was a Liverpool game, actually. And he just, every time the ball goes anywhere near him, he seems to just get his body in front, make sure he retains it, and then they're on the attack again. And I think that's important than the ability, because Rodri can't run, let's be honest. He just kind of waddled. Oh. But he's positionally so good that it means that, yeah, he doesn't have to do a 35-yard busting interception, which Kante is brilliant about, and it looks brilliant. But I sort of maintain the point that the top teams, they don't play those midfielders anymore, you know. Dare I say it, if you're an Arsenal or you're a Chelsea, actually, I think he's well suited to Chelsea in that Chelsea will have some teams that come at them you know, and some teams that will try and counter-attack them. And having an extra man in there who's, yeah, I totally agree with what you guys are saying. He's fairly serviceable in possession, but I don't think he's anything special. He's certainly not Rodri, and he's not as good as Fabinho for me. So this idea that...
Do you not think...
Sorry, go on, mate.
I was going to say, like, all the top teams, like, they do play like that, but they also play the high press. Do you not think, like, Kante is perfect for that? Because as soon as they lose the ball, he can be right in the opposition's face and keep them from getting out of their own half.
Oh, definitely, I think, from that perspective. But I think that what's more important when you're Manchester City and you've locked off all the counter-attacks is that, and I know you find this incredibly boring, G, is that you have that ability to use him as a metronome, essentially. So it's more important with him on the edge of the area, going left to right, left to right, left to right, chance, than it is to have Kante there just in case the ball goes over the top of your head. And Kante isn't your man at that. And I just think when you look at Bayern Munich with Kimmich now, I think, plays holding midfield. You've got Philipp Lahm in the past, Busquets. I just think that that's the way football is now, that having the ball and what a guy can do on the ball. Providing they can intercept, don't get me wrong, that is really important. But Rodri's fantastic at that. What about some honourable mentions? Who, not maybe quite as obviously, I think the three that we've discussed are the obvious ones. Throwing Jordan Henderson, if we're going to call him a holding midfielder, but I think you both alluded to the fact that he's more box-to-box. Give us some honourable mentions of who you think could be in this list. Maybe not quite yet, but in a few years, maybe if it's a transfer or if he's a younger player. Stranger, start with you.
Well, would you? I don't think you wouldn't class Thomas Partey as a defensive midfielder, would you?
That's a great question. I would say he's box to box. I'd say
he's box to box. So, but he's fantastic. But obviously, very slightly different player. If we're looking down the league, I guess at holding midfield, who does it specifically? Listen, you take the piss in that, but I've been saying it for months, and I think everyone's finally seeing it.
Don't say it. Oh my God!
Honestly, he actually is class though, and he does a bit of both to a much lesser extent. Perfect, absolutely perfect for us.
Just because I might have said, "Oh my God," during you talking and straight, you just remind the listeners who are you talking about here?
Douglas Luiz, mate.
Yeah.
One of your mate Pep's favourite players, he tried to keep him, but he couldn't get a work permit. So they put a buyback clause in the contract. So, you know, Pep knows his stuff. And yeah, he's been fantastic for us for a good few months consistently now. Wins the ball, but just sprays it around. Him starting the attacks from really deep is just fantastic for us. And suits our style of play really well to get it to Jack Nassan early as well. So obviously, he's not one of the best in the league. I'm not that fucking silly. But, you know, he's good. He's very good. And he's only 21, 22. So, yeah, I think he'd be a good player for a few years to come. Probably move on to a much bigger club than ours at some point. But, hey,
G, what about you? Any honourable mentions?
Three, mate. So, first one, I'll go with Højbjerg.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's brilliant. He's exactly what Tottenham needed. Like, I think that's one of the main reasons they're up there right now.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, he started with Pep at Bayern Munich, didn't he?
Did he? I didn't know that. Yeah. Did he finish?
Pep absolutely loved him. But in the end, Højbjerg just wanted, if I remember rightly, I haven't read the book for ages, but Højbjerg wanted first-team football and Pep didn't think he was quite ready for first-team football consistently. But Pep really liked him at Bayern Munich. Really liked him.
I mean, I'm glad he's with Spurs because he's a Mourinho player, isn't he?
Yeah,
absolutely.
What do you think of the fact that he's so apologetic that he's such a twat? So he just seems to constantly, like, batter into people. I mean, he nearly made Lacazette cry yesterday. Constantly bashing into him and then walking over and looking all, like, you know, puppy dog eyed at him. Yeah, really, really top player. So great one there, G. Next one.
Well, actually, I said three, but I'll leave one for you because obviously he's Everton's lad and I'm sure you're going to mention him. The other one for me is Declan Rice.
Declan Rice. I mean, you really rate him going back to our England chat.
Yeah, I think he's class, mate. And what, he's 21, is he? Something like that?
I think he's pretty much around that. I could check for you if you want.
No, he's around that anyway. But he's got it all in. He's literally got it all. Like I said, I was looking through some stats yesterday, and he's at the top for everything. Like, not just, like, obviously, Kante's at the top for interceptions and whatnot. Rodri's at the top for passing. But Declan Rice is just consistently good at everything.
Yeah, got shown up last week by Douglas Luiz. But we move on.
Yeah, and what about the going back to, hopefully you'll take this a bit more seriously, look at the consistency that Eric Dier has found to his game now, playing at centre-back. What about Declan Rice? Any further thoughts on him ending up at centre-back, G?
No. And with Eric Dier, if you watch Eric Dier pass, I can kind of see why they've took him out of midfield, because he literally cannot find a pass, can he? Whereas Declan Rice can. So Dier is doing well, really well at centre-back, but he's doing well at defending. I mean, some of his passing is atrocious.
I know, I do know what you mean with that, but he's still far better than most centre-backs. That's the point. So he's just nowhere near good enough to play centre midfield, Eric Dier, but his passing as a centre-back is still better than, you know, Tyrone Mings or...
Hey, what do you mean? Mings is fucking brilliant at picking the ball up and pinging it to the centre-half.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he keeps doing that, mate.
No, he's a thick twat, that's why.
Yeah, I just do know, but I do not understand why he's found this propensity to just, you know, rather than play out like he used to, he now just hooks that ball down the line. Why does he keep doing that?
Because he's thick, mate. He's brain dead, that's why.
Don't say that, that's rude.
No, but he's thick.
Right, but don't...
That's another one to cross off as a guest. Tyrone Mings won't be coming on.
Come on. But sorry, so yeah, we digress, or I digress there, sorry. So going back to Declan Rice, what do you think of that, Strangey, Declan Rice?
No, he's overrated, mate. He's okay, he's just all right. I don't see him becoming... he probably will get a big move because he's English. He'll probably move to one of the big clubs for a preposterous fee and just be all right there for a while. But I just don't see it. I still don't see it. I just don't get it, personally. But hey, I might be in the minority with that.
I don't understand why Chelsea are so heavily linked with him if Kante is as good as what you're saying, G.
That's a fair point, mate. Might well for the future.
Yeah, I think they've got three or four better players they could put in that position already.
Yeah, you don't spend 85 million quid for someone for the future.
Well, maybe not. And also, it's options. I mean, Chelsea are just chucking money around at the minute. It's like you say, if you're Chelsea and you're going to play a team, are you going to batter? Declan Rice is probably better in there because he can find a pass. Whereas if you're playing City, you stick Kante in there to try and break down De Bruyne. And
I do find I'll be honest. I do find that pretty weird that you would put Declan. I don't see that with Declan Rice. I don't see this range of passing that you think he has. I certainly don't think that he's someone to break down a deep lying opposition. I mean, where have you got that from?
Because I just find him very good. He wins the ball and gets it out quickly. And he's not necessarily the one who's going to break down the opposition, but win the ball, give it to a better player quickly, and you're on the move. Whereas, yeah, I think Kante's win the ball and then literally can only play a 2-yard pass.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. All right. Honourable mentions from me. I'm going to obviously go for my boy, my goatee boy, Alan.
I mean,
God. Just remember, this time last year, Everton had Tom Davies and Gylfi Sigurdsson playing centre midfield.
Fucking Tom Davies in that cult. Remember that? What's he doing him? Still pisses me off that.
Well, oh my God. I mean, I felt bad for him a bit, Alan, because he followed up what was a superb game versus Leeds with a... well, he basically gave the goal away, didn't he? Against Burnley. Yeah.
It was poor at Burnley game.
And looks just a bit raggy. But at the same time, he wins the ball back in midfield, plays the ball into Richarlison between centre-back and full-back, who crosses for Calvert-Lewin. So, Strange is a stat man, an assist of the assist.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. It's just reaching that, isn't it?
Yeah, but what if someone beats four people, taps it left, and they tap it right?
No, Of course, but sometimes, what if someone just rolls a free kick and someone whacks him into the top bin?
Yeah, but that's what it's like for assists anyway. I mean, people were talking about after Maradona died last week, weren't they? That someone actually has an assist for that goal where he beats 5-6 people against.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I suppose. Listen, I suppose some assists to assists are fantastic, just like some assists are. You're right. You're right.
Oh, and I tell you what, did you see? Sorry, I'm digressing again. Did you hear or see Gabby Agbonlahor talking about James today?
No, I didn't, mate, actually. Was it on TalkSport?
He was.
No, I didn't see it. What's he said?
So, Hammer, well, I'll tell you what he said first. He said, oh, he's getting found out now. He just doesn't do anything on the pitch and it's getting cold. And maybe he didn't realise it gets cold in England. cheers for the insight, Gabby.
Yeah.
But to go back to the game against Burnley, which is obviously what he's talking about, James attempted more tackles, covered, I think, more ground. He just basically was everywhere, absolutely everywhere, dogging away. And you just think, you know, of all the times that you're going to come out with your lazy punditry, why would you not at least check before you come out that the game previous to it, he didn't actually defy the agenda that you're trying to set out? Because if you look at three or four games and he comes out and says it, you think, oh, fair enough, he might have a point there. But he's just a bit weird.
Yeah, he's not great on punditry. He's not doing us any favours, really, speaking his mind on TalkSport, is Gabby. But he fucking loved the goal against Birmingham, though.
Yeah,
he could do what he wants for me, you know.
Sorry, go on, mate.
Gee, just quickly, you're our James Rodriguez expert. What did you see from him at the weekend?
Poor again, mate. Poor for me.
You're taking the piss, mate. You are taking the piss, aren't you?
No, if I were, I'd drop him if I were Ancelotti, I think. Hey!
So did you see the pass for Sigurdsson?
Yeah, I did three plays. That was decent. He's capable of something like it.
What do you mean that was decent? What do you mean?
Who is a decent
in the league? Right. All right. Take out people at the very elite. Yeah. So take out City players. Take out Liverpool players.
Take out Jack Grealish.
Take out Jack. Go on then. Take out Jack Grealish. You can't name me one player capable of seeing and executing that pass.
James Ward-Prowse.
James Ward-Prowse.
What about Mesut Ozil? And he can't get a game, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, Mikel Arteta, I mean, we'll save that for later, but he's becoming a bit of a parody now, isn't he?
Bless him.
But that pass, I mean, put it this way, Gabby, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, like and subscribe. that pass, which Sigurdsson just belts straight at Pope's legs, is one of the passes of the season. And of course, because it doesn't go in, he doesn't get the assist. And it's another game where someone will say, well, you're not doing enough. There was so many moments in that game. Anyway, I digress because I want to talk about one other Horden midfielder. And that is Calvin Phillips.
Oh, you know what? You took the words right out of my mouth.
He is brilliant.
But, right, I would class him as brilliant for Leeds.
Yeah.
Like Kante is brilliant for Chelsea. Would Phillips fit into these top teams and do his job that he does for Leeds? I don't know.
No, I think that's a great question. Because of the way that Leeds play, very wide, very open, with and without the ball. I mean, they defend one-on-one like it's a five-a-side game. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. But he's not getting the freedom of the park when he's playing against other top teams, four top teams.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not strolling around, picking it up and playing 40-yard passes, is he?
No. It's just weird watching Leeds, isn't it? It is. It's like five-a-side football. It's so open. Every time a Leeds player gets the ball, they've got about 20 yards of space around them. You're just thinking, what the fuck is going on here?
And wasn't it so interesting that when Allen went on that mazy run, it was a great bit of punditry from Carragher, I think, and he said, this is what happens when you defend one-on-one across the pitch like this, is that once you beat one, you've got enough momentum to keep beating people.
Absolutely, yeah. It's got acres to run into, haven't you?
What do you think, G? Calvin Phillips?
Yeah, he's a good player, but he's not as good as Declan Rice. So why he's suddenly in there? No, he's decent enough. But like you say, maybe be good for City in a way because he could do that Rodri role where he doesn't have to really defend. He just sits behind the pressure and just knocks passes about. But
I think you're doing Rodri a bit of a disservice to say that. But listen, we could be here all night.
Yeah.
So we need an order. So who's third best?
Rodri.
Fabinho.
Rodri.
So Rodri's third best. Second best?
Højbjerg for me.
Right, good. No, brilliant.
I'll go Fabinho. What about you, Strangey?
I'm going to go Fabinho first, aren't I? Because I picked him, but it's him or Kante for me, the top two. So, yeah,
if you could say that because of the insightfulness and the elaboration from the panel, you've been convinced, and then we can have consensus that Kante is the best holding midfielder in the league, and then we can get a point out.
Let's go with that. Fantastic.
Kante is the best holding midfielder in the league.
He's the best.
Brilliant. This is Tales of Togger. Welcome back to Tales of Togger. We have done it. We've found out. We've used our expert opinion. No generalizations whatsoever. No lazy punditry, Gabby. And we have decided that N'Golo Kante is the third best holding midfielder in the league. Rodri is first. Højbjerg is second, even though he wasn't in the he wasn't a contender. So really good. This is a really good show. So we're going to move on, and we're going to move on to G's segment. G, over to you.
Right, so it's back by popular demand, a greasy with Keezy. So I'm going to put to you what Keezy's been saying over the weekend and try and get your opinion on it.
Excellent. Right,
so what I'm going to do, I'm going to come to Strange first because I think Hoes will be biased on this. So first thing Keezy said is that Pep said he would only sign a contract when he felt he'd earned it. Has he earned it?
But you haven't told me what Keezy thinks, so whether I agree or disagree with him. So,
Keezy does not think he's earned it.
It's a tough one because I'm going to disagree with Keezy because he has done enough at Manchester City for them to know that he is the best coach for them. I feel personally.
Thank God. Thank God for a bit of sense.
I mean, a bit of a bad start this season. It's one of them. They're going to be there or thereabouts. So it's fine saying 9-10 games into a season he hasn't earned it. But look at what he's done for the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, he's always first or second. You know, after that first season, he's won the league with a record points total, record goals scored, all that. He's beaten the best ever second place finisher. You know, they would have won the league in, I think, 30 of the last 33 years or something like that, something silly like that. So yeah, he has to have done.
What do you think, G? Oh God, where's G gone?
G,
hello, yeah, mate.
Hey, mate. What do you think?
Mate, where did you go then, mate?
I have no idea. I'm just sat here. Right. Anyway,
you are a piece of shit, you G.
You're fucking sat here.
You were not sat there.
Right, so what do you think, G? Do you agree with Keezy?
I agree with Keezy, yeah. I think he went there to win the Champions League, which he's not done. He bottles it every year with bizarre tactics in the later stages. And yeah, the team's just got a lot worse since he's been there. Inherited a great team, did well with him. It's getting worse every season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, genuinely, no one can help you.
So yeah, no, I agree with Keezy on that.
Okay,
mate.
Right, this one for you, Hobbs, again, because I think Strange might be biased. He said, if you are Pep and you have 100 million, you'd take Grealish over Messi.
Fucking Richard Keys on the money yet again.
No, definitely not. I do not agree with Keezy.
What?
It's Messi.
The fact that he's like 33, 34. whatever, not an issue.
It's Messi. Jack Grealish has achieved nothing yet. Absolutely nothing.
He also said, I'll see if you agree with this, he said, whose place would he take? And Keyes, he said, take your pick, any of them.
So hold on.
Kevin De Bruyne and Sterling aside, he's right.
So he's saying that Jack Grealish would get in ahead of any Man City player.
He did, which I found strange, because he's not going to play in front of De Bruyne, is he?
Oh my God. Keezy, I swear to God, mate, when we get you on this show, you are in for it. Honestly, keen, avid listener of Tales of Togger, but you're taking the piss now, mate. You're just trying to drive listeners and drive clicks by making up stupid things about people that you've no idea about. So Richard Keys, who we speak to all the time on this show, which is not to promote the show whatsoever, as I've just said, we don't like people like that. Fuck off.
Sterling and De Bruyne, anyone else, you're right.
I think you're getting over Sterling.
Oh my God.
Hey, on current form this season, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Right.
You know, Akizi, disagree with Akizi. He's on drugs, so.
That is a wild accusation to be thrown about one of our partners.
Yeah,
if you put that with bad hopes, I'll come to Strange for the next one. Andy Gray said James Rodriguez is a very good player. Richard Keys thinks he's an ordinary player. That's why he's playing for Everton, and he's not showing enough.
Honestly, the line, that's why he's playing for Everton, just really makes me want to agree with Keezy for the sake of the show, but I can't. I disagree with Keezy. I think James Rodriguez is a fantastic footballer. I do genuinely question why some of the top teams didn't go in for him. I don't know why that was, but I think he's Everton's best player, if not one of the top two or three, Alan in that conversation and Rodriguez, and that's it for me in terms of Everton's best players. I disagree with Keezy. I think he's a cut above.
I mean, it's just stupid, isn't it? Richard Keys, he's a madman. He's a madman and he has a monobrow.
Right.
Hairy hands.
He's got very hairy hands.
And I know what you were saying, Keezy, you know, listener of the show, that it was all banter, but you're a prick, mate. Sorry. No, sorry. I mean, it's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I think it's quite clear why the top teams didn't get him. I mean, to say that the top teams haven't gone in for him, I mean, it's ridiculous. He's played for Real Madrid and then he's played for Bayern Munich. I mean, what do you mean the top teams?
This time. Let go on a free by Bayern. Why is a Man United, a City?
No, 100%. Sorry, what I meant was before then, I mean, for him to be questioning that is just bizarre.
He did say, Keys, he built a career off one World Cup goal.
Oh.
It's Hobie's favourite argument.
Oh. But yeah, I've seen already, for me anyway, why the top teams didn't come in for him. I mean, his age and the fact that he is very defensively immobile. You know, he puts a lot of effort in, but he's just... And I do think the fact that he is Colombian plays a part as well, which I know is bizarre for me to say without context, but he is... Every international break, he travels to the other side of the fucking world and then gets back on like a Thursday night. And then he just looks knackered for weeks.
Do you think he's what you'd call a luxury player, Hobbs?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Absolutely wonderful.
The Colombia thing's a strange argument because people still sign Brazilians and Argentinians and...
No, sorry, what I mean is, I mean the two things combined. So right. I think energy-wise, he's not great anyway. And then the fact he's Colombian and he's sat on a plane all this time and he's, you know... All right, I don't think it fits for him. It would be brilliant if he retired from international football.
Hey, right, last one for you, Hobbs.
Go on.
Heung-min Son is in the top ten best players in the world.
Is he that high? So let me rattle some off. Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, Kevin De Bruyne, Salah, Mane,
I mean, Harry Kane, he's not actually the best player in the Tottenham team, is he?
Harry Kane, Moise Keane.
Are you all right?
I mean, I said it the first time, got no reaction, so I had to peddle him again. I think that's 10 already. I think that's 10. Raheem Sterling. So, no, I don't think he's in the top 10. But I think people sort of get too hung up on this arbitrary top 10. You know, if you're in the top 20, 25, 30 players in the entire world, it's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's definitely in there. I just don't think he's top 10. I think there's 10 lads out there that have consistently done it. And he's been doing it for 2 or 3 years now, but nah, not for me yet.
Well, I'd completely agree with you. I think if you could name 10 people and Keezy couldn't argue against you, but if he just says Son's in the top 10 and don't have to back it up with anything, then they're playing Keezy, you crack on.
And that's why he's a hairy-handed, misogynistic prick. No, I'm sorry, I won't say that. It's just banter. It's just banter.
Spot on about Jack, though. Good lad, Keezy.
Oh, I love Jack. I'm every week.
What do we think about the Keezy stuff? I mean, it's just not acceptable, is it? It's certainly not acceptable. But at the same time, I mean, he's very much adamant that he was forced out.
I mean, you're just never going to keep your job, are you, if you get caught on tape doing that? Just don't say it and you'll be right, I think.
Yeah. It's very much know your audience. I don't buy into this idea that you can't say things like that because, as we've discussed before, you've got people like Frankie Boyle, you've got Ricky Gervais. Lots of people say things that are very provocative.
Yeah.
And it's about getting a reaction, isn't it, for your own gratification. You're making someone else laugh. But know your audience. Don't say it live. Don't allow that to then go to an audience that, whilst you may not have been suggesting that it is for, it's still got to another audience, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think, Jay?
I think they're just old school, mate. So I think Sky would have probably at some point thought, we want to, you know what I mean? We want to change things. We want to bring in the likes of Carragher and Neville. Younger lads, a bit more energy. Just change things up. Obviously, Keys and Gray did it for years and years, didn't they? So, yeah, you've got to keep moving the same way they're bringing in like the likes of Alex Scott and stuff now. You know what I mean? It's Keezy wouldn't have had that. Keezy wouldn't have shared a studio with you, I doubt.
Yeah. I'd like Keezy on. I'd definitely like Andy Gray on because I'll tell you what, I once saw Richard Keys say about Andy Gray that he said, people say that he sort of changed the game when it comes to analytics. No, Andy Gray wrote the book. And he's spot on, isn't he?
Yeah.
Who was doing it before Andy Gray?
No, he's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic pundit.
And as a commentator as well, I don't think we've had a better commentator since he's hung up his microphone.
Right, honestly, I'm not just saying this, but I was driving back yesterday from London and I was listening to TalkSport. I can't remember who the actual commentator on, but the co-commentator on the West Brom Crystal Palace game was Chris Iwilumo. Is that how you say his name? Yeah. Right. Number one, didn't realise he was Scottish.
Right.
Right. Secondly, he was fucking brilliant.
Nice.
He was so enthusiastic. Honestly, what a co-commentator. And there was times where he was that Scottish, I didn't understand a word he was saying, but I didn't care. Honestly, he was ace. So we'll get him on the show.
Perfect.
Nice.
Is that it from you, G?
Yep, that's it.
Brilliant. Okay, let's finish up the show by looking at the weekend's Premier League results. At this point as well, we'll go over to G and discuss Blackburn Rovers. First of all, let's have a look at some of the results. A mauling over at the Hawthorns. Crystal Palace win 5-1 against West Brom. Sheffield United don't win again. I'm pretty sure now Chris Wilder, his team are rock bottom of the league without a win, I think, at the moment. I'd have to check that.
Yep, still no wins.
Still no wins.
Do you think they'll sack him or just say, well, to be honest, you did well to get to Premier League?
Yeah, they really shouldn't sack him. Shouldn't I mean, sack what would he do?
Fucking hell.
Yeah. But I think Chris Wilder, as we've discussed many times on this podcast, needs to learn from his experience, which is, you know, you get them up by having a championship team. That's ace, Chris. Well done. But you don't roll the dice again.
What do you think? No, you don't.
Yeah, just you a don't. Bit naive, I think. I think, obviously, his first season in the Premier League was outstanding, just absolutely brilliant. But then, whereas Villa's and Smith's wasn't, it was shit. Smith has bought some decent Premier League calibre players in to because I think he got that wrong the first year round. Kind of learnt from it a little bit, whereas Wilder hasn't at all, I don't think.
No, I totally agree. Other results just of note in there. Liverpool swatted aside Wolves at Anfield. I watched that game up until 2-0, I think 3-0. And they were just mesmerising Liverpool. It pains me to say, but they were just unbelievable. Of course, over at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Tottenham Jose'd Arsenal and won 2-0. What do you guys think? Anything in there or any other results? Maybe the Chelsea result beating Leeds 3-1 at home. Anything in there that caught your eye?
Liverpool one's a big one for me because it's been a thing over the last 2 years, hasn't it, where they've not had any injuries and people said, how will they cope without injuries? And to beat Wolves 4-0, I mean, that's a result, isn't it? And to still be top of league. Hey, again, aren't they?
Absolutely. You can't deny it. I mean, they are absolutely winning my respect. I mean, last night, they were purring. Absolutely purring. Strangey, what about you? Anything in there over the weekend that you enjoyed? Or
yeah, nice to see Jose do a classic Jose at, against Arsenal. Just loved it. I love watching Jose anyway and watching the teams. But seeing him just dismantle Arsenal so easily without really fucking breaking a sweat was just nice to see. Really, it was lovely.
Yeah, Mikel out. He's got to go, hasn't he?
No. Yeah, but who's coming in and changing that? They're shit, aren't they? I mean,
I know, but it's one thing to say they're shit and who's going to come in, but he's making them worse.
Yeah, he's making them a bit shitter, isn't he? I don't know about out. I don't know. I was very, very staunchly not out, but the fact that I'm questioning it now is obviously telling, so who fucking knows what happens down there at Arsenal?
What do you think of the fact Thomas Partey played half an hour with Xhaka and thought, I'm just going to walk off the pitch?
I told you, he must be in training every day thinking, what have I done?
Yeah. I've given up Simeone for this. Yeah,
fucking looking around the training pitch at Atletico, fucking Koke, Sal Rodriguez, you've got fucking Diego Costa and Yao Felix pulling the strings up top, Suarez there now. He's fucking watching Rob Holding trying to defend now.
I was just about to say, then he looks over at Rob Holding's hair and you just think, and I tell you, the other performance, I watched Man United at West Ham. And West Ham, I can't believe they lost that game. Honestly, United infuriate me. They're shit. They're proper, proper shit. And he just seems to keep eking out results.
Yeah.
Got results, mate.
Yeah, and I think he's, you know, he's got really good players, which is what we all keep saying. I
mean, he should be beating West Ham. So,
but they were so bad. Quick look at the next load of fixtures. We'll just look at our respective teams. You've got Wolves in the derby.
Yeah, Wolves away next. Not looking forward to that because Wolves are quite a decent team, but no, Raul Jimenez is there at the minute with his horrific injury, obviously. So that, you know, very selfishly, he's a massive threat, isn't he? And a big, bigger asset to their side. So, yeah. I mean, I still think we'll get beat, but maybe not heavily.
Yeah. And, finally, over to you. Anything on Blackburn?
Yeah, I just want to discuss the weekend. I'd say our biggest point at season so far, and I know we've had some good wins where we've battered teams 4 or 5 nil, but to be fair, we were better than Brentford at first half an hour, 35 minutes. Give away the penalty, got a man sent off, and we just sat, and that was it. We were we were under the cosh. But it was just a Mowbray masterclass, mate. He's literally, you've seen it happen. He stayed in the game. I mean, we did concede to a great goal, to be fair. Went 2-1 down. And you just thought, oh, this could be any score now. But we've just sat, and again, we've just soaked up the pressure. And then you've just seen it. It was like the 82nd minute. They've just gone for it and managed to get the equaliser. And I've seen it said a few times, there'll be a lot of teams who are more than happy to get a draw at Brentford with 11 players. So yeah, to do it with 10, it's just, it were a big boost. You can see it's been a big boost. So, yeah, we're going to win league, mate. Championship update, Blackburn are going to win the league.
Where are you in the league currently, G?
I think it's our 8th or 9th, but we're only 2 points off playoffs at the minute. And it's so close at top. I bet we're only 5 points off top at league, 5 or 6. So,
yeah, you are 9th and you are 6 points off top.
Right, yeah, 2 points off the playoffs. And that league, it's bizarre. It is so bizarre, some of the results.
Yeah, it's a weird league,
week to week.
I mean, you're not going up, though, are you?
No, we are. I think we definitely are. Definitely, we'll get Bradley down back in a couple of weeks.
I'm just looking at the teams that are above you already. So Norwich, Bournemouth, Swansea, Stoke, Watford, Middlesbrough are on a point less than you. And then even looking at the teams that, you know, traditionally are higher up the league, Derby, Forest, Birmingham, Preston, Cardiff, you're not going up, mate. You will never go.
No chance.
Yeah, we are. 100% this year. Best team in that league.
Okay. Final word on the Millwall fans. What do we think?
It's just fucking, they're just dickheads, aren't they? I mean, what can you say other than they're just fucking clowns? Like, what? Why?
Isn't it? I mean, I was listening to an interview on LBC with John Barnes, and he was saying, you know, it's not like everyone is asking the fans to take a knee. They're just saying, for 4 seconds, keep your gob shut while the players choose to do what they want to do.
Yeah, I watch it every week, and it's like, oh, Rovers players do it. And when Adam Armstrong takes a knee, I don't think, oh, look at him supporting the Marxists. I just think, you know what I mean? He's taking a knee, and then we'll start the game.
But that is a really good point, because whilst you're taking the mickey there, it's this sort of mixture of the political point, defund the police and all that crap, to just a simple point of anti-discrimination. And I think it's fair to say that the players are just saying, we want equal opportunities. But you get, you know, Brenda on Facebook saying hashtag all lives matter. Shut up, Brenda.
Oh, Brenda, do me a favour and go take your face for a shit, love.
Whoa!
Sorry.
That brings the end, brings us rather to the end of the show. That is another instalment of Tales of Togger. Any last words from you, G? Make you sound like you're dying there, but that's fine. What do you think?
He probably is.
Nothing from me, mate. Always a pleasure.
Strangey?
No, big thanks to Danny Cadamatri. Everything else was great. Loved it. Well in, guys.
Just before you go, G, can you just tell me another Scandinavian country?
Sweden.
Give me 5 players that play for Sweden.
Currently or ever?
Ever.
Right, easy. Henrik Larsson, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Martin Olsen.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've had 2 more players in the past.
Well, it was easy.
Do you think, mate?
10 seconds ago, it was easy. My mind's gone blank, mate. No, I think they've only ever had 3.
3 players? Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. And, can you name Henrik Larsson's youngest brother?
That is Paul Larsson. This is a builder down Norwich or something.